So turn to Hebrews chapter 11. So chapter 11 is about believing. Yeah. It's about believing God, and, you know, there's two types of believing, right? Believing in your renewed mind, believing what the written word of God says to us. And then there's the manifestation of believing when God gives you revelation to believe for miracles or to cast out spirits or to heal somebody or whatever. And the manifestation of believing is that God gives you information about which by your five senses you wouldn't know, and so he gives it to you and then you carry it out. Renewed mind believing is you read the word and you believe it, you act upon it, you believe it. I just want to look at two people here. You know, in our society and culture, for the most part, we're very short-sighted. We think in terms of today, tomorrow, and next week. And we also think in terms of, I got to have it now. I can't wait. I don't want to save. I'll charge it and I'll pay for it later. Or I want to take the trip now. I don't want to wait. Or, you know, so on and so forth. And I guess, you know, it's okay sometimes, but sometimes it's not. But in relation to believing God, you know, we're not always going to see things immediately when we pray for them necessarily, or we're not always going to see miracles and signs every day. There may be, but we may not always see them. We may not even know what's going on. We just know that things are hunky-dory or something. But I wanted to look at two guys in the Bible that spent a long period of time, and God certainly did things for them, but it wasn't always, you know, miracle after miracle and sign after sign and mighty deed after mighty deed. So look at chapter 11, verse 7. It says, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear. Means respect. Took God at his word. He prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became the heir of righteousness, which is by faith or believing. By believing, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By believing, he sojourned in the land of promise. The word sojourn, I always thought it meant traveled, but I looked it up. It means to abide or abode in a place where you're a stranger. That's what it really means. So he, by believing, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through believing also, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Okay, so here's the record of two men who over long periods of time had to wait patiently for God to bring some promises to pass. And they did that, and they believed, and they continued to believe and were faithful to God throughout those periods of time. So let's go to Genesis chapter 6, first book of the Bible. It's easy to find. And verse 3, we're going to begin. So although they saw some things in their lives, and we'll look at some of the things that they saw, and I'll mention the few things they saw and happened. They did not see the promised one, the Messiah, and they didn't see all the promises that God made come to pass, did they? Because later on in Hebrews 7, it says, these all died not having received the promise. So in chapter 6 of Genesis, in verse 3, it says, and the Lord said, now, you know, he's looking at man. Man's terrible. There's evil upon the earth. Every thought and intent of the heart of man is evil continually. So in verse 3, the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he is also for he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. So God makes a statement here that man only has 120 years left. Okay? And then in verse 5, it says, and God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. I believe that's the first usage of heart in the Bible. But anyway, and the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. That's a big but. But, because everybody else was condemned, and because why? Because they were evil. They were crazy. They were nuts. It says there was violence all over the whole face of the earth. So that's what happened. Verse 9, these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. So it says he was perfect. That doesn't mean he was perfect, but it means he was upright. You know, he did his best. He believed God. He believed in God. You know, you don't have to be perfect in your life, but if you believe God and you do your best, he honors that. And in this case, Noah did his best. And Noah begot three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and the earth was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood, room shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. And it goes on and tells him how big the ark is to be and how it's to be and all this other stuff. But, you know, in the beginning here we read, and he said, you know, yet 120 years. Many people say it took Noah 120 years to build the ark, or about 120 years to build the ark. It doesn't really tell us that. It tells us, you know, God said man has 120 years. And then later on it says he tells Noah to build the ark. How long did it take Noah to build the ark? I don't know. It took him a long time, though. It took him a long time. Number one, he didn't have, as far as we know, power tools. We don't really know what he had, do we? But we don't think he had any power tools. There's no records. There's no remnants of anything like that. So can you imagine building a boat? I don't know how big they think it is. It's the length of 300 cubits. That'd be about 450 feet long. I forget how many stories high, 10, 15 stories high or something, and, you know, 50, 60 feet wide. How long would it take you to build a ship like that out of wood by hand? And not only just build the shell, but then it has decks and rooms and everything else, and then he has to pitch it, and which means put tar on it so that it's waterproof and everything else, you know. And then he had to make sure, you know, it says pitch it within and without, but then there had to be places where they could walk where they wouldn't get tar all over their feet too. So I don't know what he did, but he did something. So it took him quite a while, you know, and that all that period of time, it says that he believed God. He believed. In verse 21, it says, and take thou unto thee of all the food that is eaten, thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be for food for thee and for them. Them being the animals. The animals. So he had to gather food. So he had to believe God to get all this together. He not only had to build the ark, he had to, you know, cut the wood and mill the wood, you know, so it was smooth and so it could be put together and into a boat. But then he also had to get all the materials and all the necessary stores to live on the boat. You know, food for all those animals. And it says God told him to bring the animals, the unclean by twos, male and female, and the clean animals by sevens, male and female. So, for instance, two pigs, a male and a female, because they were unclean. And what else is unclean? I don't know.
Lobsters.
Two lobsters.
They're still in the water.
That's right.
Yeah. But, you know, there's other, well, okay, wild boars. You know, boars. They're a type of pig, but they're different. They would be unclean, and hippopotamuses would probably be unclean, and elephants would be unclean, all those by twos. But then all the clean animals by sevens, so that would be cows and deer and, yeah, all this different stuff and all those things. So they would be by sevens. So it'd be 14 each of them, you know, and then he had to feed them all. So that's a lot of food. Okay, and then verse 22, thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him, so did he. He believed. He did exactly what God told him. He did it. Now, do you think God worked in him as he's going along and he's making this? He never made a boat before, you know. You know, when you learn a physical skill, when you do a trade, you know, electrical or plumbing or carpentry, you know, there's little tricks to the trade, right? There's little things you learn along the way of doing things. But, you know, most carpenters go to Home Depot or Lowe's or a lumber yard and they buy the wood. It's already cut. It's already milled. So it's smooth. It's even. It's certain sizes. You get different sizes, different kinds of wood to do it. What did Noah have to do? He had to get gopher wood. So you got to go out and you got to find all the gopher wood. I mean, how much wood would that take to build a boat that big? A lot. Piles and piles and stacks and stacks. And then he had to figure out how to put it together, which he probably used wooden dowels or something. And, you know, I don't know. And God had to show him how to do all this stuff. So there, God showing him stuff and teaching him stuff. But, you know, he had to stay faithful to it. He had to, you imagine how easy it would have been to be discouraged. It has never rained on the earth. And God said, it's going to rain. And he's making a boat, and he's making it not near the water. He's making it on dry land. You know, pretty amazing. So between verse 14... where he says, make the boat, and 21 and 22, where he tells him to get the food, is a long period of time. And Moses had to continue to believe God, and it says in another place, we're going to read, well, let's go to second. Hold your place there. Go to 2 Peter chapter 2. And it says in verse 5, he spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. Here it says that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. That means that during this period of time in his life, he continued to preach. He continued to speak the word of God. And how many people believed? Nobody. Nobody. We don't even know what his wife believed. We don't know what his, one of his sons apparently believed, because from one of his sons came the believer's line. But not a lot of people believed. Let's go to chapter 24 of Matthew. Tells us a little bit more about Noah. This is where Jesus Christ is speaking about his return. But in the context, he says in verse 37, but as the days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. In other words, you know, here's Noah, and he's expecting something's going to happen. God doesn't tell him exactly when it's going to happen because, you know, he has to build the ark. And so it took a long time. Maybe that's why he said 120 years, because he knew how long it would take him, or approximately. But the other people didn't know, and they didn't even think it would happen. They were having a good old time. Verse 38, for as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and given in marriage until the day of Noah entered into the ark and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Woo-hoo. You know, all those years of building the ark, preaching righteousness, and nobody believed. And it says that by believing Noah did this. By believing, he continued to believe God. Now, did he see a miracle every day? I don't know. It doesn't say that, does it? It doesn't say that he saw all these signs and wonders. It just said he believed God and he kept doing what God told him to do. And God blessed him. And he's mentioned in the Word of God. He's called a preacher of righteousness. So God had to give him specific revelation, didn't he? He had to give him the wherewithal to build this incredible, unsinkable boat. Think about that. You know, they said the Titanic was unsinkable. You know, all that technology, all that steel, all that stuff, they said the Titanic was unsinkable. And it sank. Here's little old Noah. All he has is wood and time and God and pitch and gopher wood. And he built an unsinkable boat. But not only that, you know, God figured out all the details for him, but Noah incredibly followed directions, which my wife would be amazed if I always followed directions. I know when at Christmas time, I'd always try to cut corners when I was putting stuff together. Sometimes it wouldn't work out so well. Noah didn't cut any corners. He didn't take any shortcuts. He just did what God told him to do. Did he see any miracles? It doesn't say. But what it says is that he believed God, he obeyed God, and he was faithful to carry out the revelation that God gave him. And so he was blessed. And he's mentioned in Hebrews in that wonderful record that he was a believer, that he believed God. Let's go back to Hebrews 11 again. Hold your place in Genesis, I guess. Pretty amazing when you think about it, though. You know, it would have been easy to get discouraged. It would have been easy to say, you know, God, what's the story here? Help me out. Or, you know, I don't know if I want to do this anymore. But he did. Thank God for that. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. If you go back into Genesis, there's no record of it ever raining. It said the garden got watered by a mist rising up in the evening, you know, and then it watered the plants. There's a place in South America on the west coast down pretty far south where a mist comes off the ocean and waters the plants. It doesn't rain much there. It's a desert, but the stuff that lives is watered by a mist that comes off the ocean. So I always think about that when I read that thing in Genesis. So there was nothing to see. He didn't know what was going to happen. He just did what God told him. Pretty amazing. You know, and he saved his house and he condemned the world and became the heir of righteousness, which is by believing. Became an heir of righteousness. Now we go to Abraham. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. He didn't know where he was going. He was living in the land of Ur. What a place. And I wonder what a person from Ur was called. An Urian? Anyway. An Urite. Urba. It's where Uber started, in Ur. Anyway, they did camels. You know, God came to him and he said, okay, Abraham, time to leave. And Abraham left. He didn't know where he was going. He didn't have a GPS. He didn't have AAA to give him a trip ticket or a map. He just left. By believing, he sojourned in the land of promises in a strange country. He abode, he lived as a stranger in the land where God promised him. Dwelling in tabernacles, in tents, with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. Now, you know, we're going to look a little bit at the promises to Abraham, but, you know, God promised him, number one, that he would have an heir by Sarah. But he also promised him the promised land that his family would receive the land. And he said, look to the north, to the south, to the east and the west. He said, as far as you can see, it will be all yours. And then he said, look at the stars in heaven. That's how big your seed will be. That's how great the nation that comes out of you will be. And then he also promised that the Messiah would come from his bloodline, the greatest promise of all. You know, but at first, he just lived in tents in the promised land as a stranger with Isaac and Jacob in tents. And then verse 10, it says, for he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And he looked forward to the new heaven and the new earth, that new Jerusalem that would come down from heaven, which is spoken of in Revelation. Through believing, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him, God, faithful, who had promised. And you know, Abraham was 100 and Sarah was 90. Okay, let's go to Genesis again, just to look a little bit at Abraham. Because again, God comes to him and gives him promises, and he has to go a long time. Chapter 12. He has to go through many years and lots of travels and lots of things go on in his life before he sees some of these promises come to pass. Chapter 12, verse 4, it says, so Abraham, well, in verse 2, it says, I will make thee, God speaking to Abraham, a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curse thee. And in thee shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. That's the first promise to him of the coming Messiah. I don't know if he understood it or knew it, but that's what we know looking back, right? That all the nations of the earth would be blessed through Abraham's seed, which would be the Messiah. And then in verse 4 it says, so Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him, that was his nephew. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. Okay? He was 75 years old when God told him to do this. 75. It's pretty old to start a new career. Now, he lived to be 175. So, if you put it in the context of our lifetimes and our life expectancy, so a man can live to be 75, 76 is the average, I guess, or 80. So it would be like starting a new career, a new life, moving and changing everything at age 40 or 45. You know, just drop everything and start over. Not even know where you're going. And say, okay, I'm going to move to California, find a job, and start over. That's what he did. But he didn't fly out or drive out. He didn't know where he was going even. Didn't even know where he was going. Let's go to chapter 15. Verse 1, after these things, I don't know what things they were. Oh, it's so his herds, he goes into Egypt and he has a thing with Pharaoh. Pharaoh asks him to leave because Sarah was beautiful and everybody that sees Sarah wants to have Sarah. And he tells everybody that's his sister. And it's really not, it is his sister. They had the same father, different mother. So then he leaves and Pharaoh pays him to leave, I guess. And then Lot and he, their herds get so big and they're getting so rich that they need to split up. So Lot goes one way and Abraham goes the other. Lot gets captured by these kings. Lot goes and defeats these kings in a battle and they meet Melchizedek, the priest, and so on and so forth. So it says, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eleazar of Damascus? And Abram said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed, And lo, one born of my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now at heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. And he believed the Lord and counted it for him for righteousness. So again, he believed. But now he's gone down the road a few years already. He's been traveling around. He started out at 75. And he goes through here. Let's go to chapter 16, verse 1. Now Sarah, Abraham's wife, bare him no children, and she had an handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. Later on, she went into the pants business. But Hagar pants? Okay. But at this point, she was Sarah's handmaid. And Sarai said unto Abram, behold, now the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go into my maid. It may be that I obtain children by her. So Abram hearkened unto the voice of Sarai. And Sarai, Abraham's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband Abram to be his wife. So, you know, this is weird to us, but in their culture, you know, Hagar was a slave, so she belonged to Sarah. Her name was Sarai, then God changed her name to Sarah. His name was Abram, God changed it to Abraham, okay? So then she gives her handmaid to Abram, and she has a child. But it's after 10 years she does this, so how old is Abraham? 85. And then she has a child at 86, which is Ishmael, and God says, no, 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 this is not what I intend for you. Okay? So let's go to verse 16. Did I read through verse? Yeah. In 16 it says, and Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bare Ishmael to Abraham. He was 86. So at this time, Abraham still had the ability to give child, right? To impregnate a woman. It says in Romans that he was as one dead. So by the time we get to where he's 99, he no longer can, nor can Sarah. Sarah never could, right? She was barren.
Right.
And now she's 10 years younger than Abraham, so if he's 86, she's 76, okay? Pretty amazing. Chapter 17, verse 1. Now, in all this time, is Abraham seeing things? Well, yeah, he delivers him. He enriches him with money, and his herds are growing, and his household, you know, the number of servants and shepherds he has is growing, and all this stuff. But he doesn't have the one thing he really wants, which is the heir of his inheritance, you know, which is going to be through him, that's going to be the Messiah, right? So, verse 17, and when Abraham was 90 years old and 9, which is 99, the Lord appeared unto Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God, walk before me and be thou perfect. Again, perfect doesn't mean perfect, perfect, but it means upright, doing your best, looking to me, trusting me, okay? And I will make my covenant between me and thee and will multiply thee, how much?
Exceeding.
He just has one child and it's by a slave, so it's not really the heir that God promised him. And it's the wrong bloodline, it's an Egyptian. And God says, I will make a covenant between me and thee and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abraham fell on his face and God talked with him saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shalt thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee. So Abraham means a father of many nations. And I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee, and their generations for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger. all the land of Canaan for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. See, and you see, this is the promised land, right? This is the promise where he is now a stranger. All these other people are living there. It's their land. You know, it's kind of interesting when you think about what goes on in the Middle East today in that land. You know, these guys are claiming that the Jews came in and took it away from them. We're not sure if they're even real Jews. And they're fighting over all this stuff, and they want to turn the whole world into a war just over this piece of desert. Anyway, so be it. So that's the promise that God made. Let's go to chapter 21. 21. So he's 99 years old. Sarah is 90 or 89, right? What a great thing. Imagine being that old. Just imagine being that old. Just imagine being that old and being healthy enough to walk around and live in tents. Yeah, imagine. Imagine that. I can't imagine being that old and not having modern facilities, like a bathroom, you know? You think about it. You know, we take so much for granted. And yet, it would be torture. You know why they died young a lot? Because it was torture living like that. Amazing. And the Lord, chapter 21. And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said in a previous chapter. He had promised Abraham. And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age at the set time of which God had spoken to him. Now this is a miracle. So I don't know, you know, Abraham saw some things. He got taken by Abimelech at one point, and God closed up the wombs of all the women, and Abimelech and his whole kingdom was stricken with disease, and God told Abimelech, you know, you took Abraham's wife, and he said, I didn't touch her, and he said, good, ask Abraham to pray for you, and I'll heal everybody, and that's what happened, and then the king paid Abraham more money to leave with Sarah, and he said, you can dwell in my land safely, nobody will ever bother you, and that he did. You know, which is later became the Philistines. And so he saw that, and that was great. But, you know, he went 25 years from leaving Haran. He had this these promises. And finally, after 25 years, he gets the son that's promised him. It's a long time. It says, and Abraham believed God. He believed him all those years. He stayed faithful to God. He didn't curse God. He didn't get upset. He didn't get frustrated. But, you know, he got to a point where he said, you know, God, I don't have anybody but this Eliezer. I have no heirs. So, and God had already promised that he would be the father of many nations previous to that. Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, being 8 years old, as God had commanded him. And Abram was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. And Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh, so that all that hear will laugh with me. And she said, who would have said unto Abraham that Sarah should be given children suck? For I have borne him a son in his old age. And the child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast the same day that Isaac was weaned. Wow, pretty amazing. But he stayed faithful for a long period of time, didn't he? Mm-hmm. He didn't quit. He didn't get discouraged. He didn't, you know, so as we go through life, you know, the real thing here is that we just have to stay faithful. You just have to stay, you know, okay, so you prayed for something, it doesn't come to pass immediately. So do you quit? No, you keep praying. You keep hanging in there. You keep looking to God. The book of Job talks about how Job was tested, and he lost his sons and his daughters and all his wealth. And his wife said, curse God and die. And he refused. He refused to curse God through all those years, and then God blessed him. And then he got sons and daughters once again, and all his wealth got restored. So, and God said he would double what he had had before. So he did. God promised Abraham great promises, but he had to stay faithful, didn't he? He had to keep believing. He couldn't quit. He couldn't give up, you know? And you know, God is great. If you really have the intention of staying faithful to him and believing him, well, you know, there are going to be times when you're going to need help. So what do? You get mad, you kick the wall, you get drunk? No, you pray to God and say, okay, God, I need a little help here. You know, I need a little encouragement. Show me what to do, or give me peace, you know, and he'll do that for you. You just got to allow him to do it. We all have bumps in the road. We all have problems. We're all going to have difficulties in life. That's not unique to anyone. It's not. You know, sometimes we have a problem or we have difficulty in life. We think, man, why is it always me? You ever say that? Everybody in the world that's ever sucked air has said that or thought that. Why me? But we all go through it. So it's not the problems. It's not the bumps in the road. It's not the difficulties. It's what you do with it. It's what you do with your mind. It's where you go with your mind that makes the difference. Because we all go through it. You know, why me? You know, Stella says that every morning when she wakes up and sees me. Why me? Seriously, you know, it's not the problems. It's what you do with the problems. Because we're more than conquerors in every situation. We're more than conquerors. God can make victory out of any situation, any circumstance. He can do great and mighty things. Let's go to Romans real quick. We'll close there. 100 years old, and he believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. 120 years, maybe, building the ark, a long period of time, out of gopher wood. I don't even know what gopher wood is. Gopher wood, yeah, that's right. Chapter 4 of Romans. Let's see, verse 17, chapter 4 of Romans, verse 17. Speaking of Abraham, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who hath quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. You know, he was dead as far as being able to impregnate a woman. His wife was dead. She was barren. She produced no ovum. And God resurrected their bodies so that they could have a child. They had to wait 25 years to see that miracle, you know. And then it says that Abraham never actually saw, you know, his family possess the promised land. You know, he lived. Okay, so then he lived, and he lived with Isaac, and Isaac didn't get married till he was 40. And then he didn't have a child until he was 60. So by then, Abraham was 165, I think. Or 160, right? Because he was 100 when Isaac was born. So he was 160 before he even saw his first grandson. Wow. Which was, you know, then the twins, right? Esau and Jacob. And then he didn't get to see the 12 patriarchs because he died when he was 175 years old. But he had to wait 40 years for Isaac even to get married, which was unusual in those days. You know, they got married when they were young. And he had to send a servant out to go get a wife for him. And then it took them 20 years before they had a baby. Again, another miracle. But 20 years. See? So, you know, sometimes we have to wait a couple of weeks or a year for something to come to pass and we get freaked out. You know, but you can't be that way with God. You got to have patience. You stay faithful to pray to God, to serve him, to put him first in your life. And then you'll see things, you know. And when you hit a tough place in the road, you ask God to help you through it. You know, you pray to him, You ask him to give you peace about the situation, to show you what he's going to do for you or what you should do about it, and he'll take care of you. But you just keep moving forward with God. You don't quit on him. Man, it would have been easy to quit building that ark, I'm sure. People coming by making, what are you building that for? What are you, nuts? It's a beautiful day. What is that? A what? An ark? What's that? It's a boat. The word ark in Genesis is boat. Not to be confused with the Ark of the Covenant, which is a different word, which means a container. But it was a boat. He built the boat, and there was no water and no rain. And yet he kept building and doing what God told him. Abraham took off at 75 with promises, not even knowing where he was going or what he was doing. And he kept believing. And 25 years later, God worked a miracle. You know, and that's why it's counted for him for righteousness, because he was so faithful in believing God. Okay, so amen and amen. Father God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for loving us, for blessing us. We thank you for the snow to melt, for beautiful weather ahead, for a great spring, and we just thank you for loving us and watching over us. We thank you for everyone as they go out today about their business for the week ahead, that you bless them and love them, protect them and watch over them. And we just thank you for you just being there for us, God, that we can be there for you. And we thank you in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.